Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Let me set the stage for you. It's 1997. It's a great year. I was 26 years old. It's game six of the NBA Finals. The Jazz versus the Bulls. There's about 20-some seconds left, and it's a tie ball game, and the Bulls call a timeout, and Phil Jackson, the head coach, draws up a play. The play doesn't go as planned because Michael Jordan, the man, gets double-teamed. But like a smart basketball player, he doesn't try to force the shot. He kicks it to the open man, who happens to be, anybody remember who? Steve Kerr, who's currently the Golden State Warrior head coach. He kicks it to Steve Kerr, and Steve Kerr nails the shot as the shot clock expires. There's 6.8 seconds left in the game. They're able to play defense, stop the Jazz, and the Bulls go on to win because Steve Kerr hit the open shot as the shot clock was expiring. Do y'all get it? Y'all set the stage there? Now, I want you to hear in a second the post-parade party presentation. You know they had these big parades in the city. The whole team is paraded through Chicago, the streets of Chicago. Everybody's cheering. And then at the end of the parade, the whole team gets up on stage, and this is what Steve Kerr has to say. Watch this.
Asking me about the shot the other night.
Michael, in traffic to Kerr.
And there have been some misconceptions about what actually happened. I wanted to clear it up. When we called timeout with 25 seconds to go, we went into the huddle.
He comes off, I'll be ready.
And Phil told Michael, he said, Michael, I want you to take the last shot. And Michael said, you know, Phil, I don't feel real comfortable in these situations. So maybe we ought to go in another direction. Why don't we go to Steve? So I thought to myself, well, I guess I got to bail Michael out again.
Here's Jordan. Did not have the shot.
The shot went in, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I love that. You see, when Steve Kerr knew that when you're around greatness, occasionally you get your own moment to shine. He knew what it was to ride the coattails of the great one. And in riding the coattails of the great one, he had his own moment of glory. There's another moment that same year earlier in the season when the Bulls had a victory. In the post-game press conference, it's not recorded on video, but it is recorded in writing. Steve Kerr was saying up on the podium, Jordan, Michael, and I combined for 66 to lead the team to victory. That night when he said, Michael and I have combined for 66 to lead the team to victory, Steve Kerr scored 2 points. I love that. He gets it, that when you align yourself with the great one, you get to bask in his glory and get some glory of yourself. There was no doubt that there was joy for Steve Kerr in being on the great one's team, just doing his little part. You understand what I'm saying? See, there's another story very similar to that. It's the sixth chapter of John, the first several verses. I want you to read it this week on your own. I just want to tell you about the story. What's happening in the story is Jesus and his disciples go to a faraway place, and people are flocking to him in droves. They want to see this Jesus, the great one. And it's around dinner time, and they're a long, long way away from the nearest McDonald's. And Jesus, with a twinkle in his eye and a tongue in his cheek, turns to one of the disciples and says, hey, where are we going to buy bread to feed all these people? Now, if you read the story, the disciple whom he asked freaks out and says, Jesus, half a year's wages wouldn't buy enough bread to give everybody one bite. You see, there's about 5,000 people there. 5,000. Jesus looks around, and there's another disciple who had a little bit of Steve Kerr in him before Steve Kerr had Steve Kerr in him. And he went to Jesus, and he goes, hey, Jesus, there's this boy. And this boy, he's got, and the Bible says, has five, and it uses this word in the Bible, small loaves and two small fish. And I'm imagining Jesus is chuckling to himself, saying to himself, man, I just scored 64. But we need two more. And so Jesus takes the small loaves from the little boy, takes the fish from the little boy. He prays over it. He blesses it. He thanks the Father, and he gives it to the disciples to pass it out. And the Bible tells us that of the 5,000 people, after everyone had eaten, the disciples gathered 12 baskets full of leftover food. Now, can you imagine this little boy's press conference after the game? Can you imagine what he said to his mom or his dad as they tucked him in at night? He probably said, "Mom, me and Jesus fed 5,000 today." Or can you imagine the joy of the boy in serving alongside the great one? I mean, for the boy in serving alongside the great one, man, he today gets his story told thousands of years after him. What a happy moment for the little boy. "Mama, Jesus and I fed 5,000. I'm telling you, he was Steve Kerr before Steve Kerr was Steve Kerr. But you know what there wasn't in the heart of this little boy?
"I got to serve. I got to give."
You know what there wasn't in the heart of Steve Kerr?
"Oh, I got to carry Jordan again."
He was clearly joking. And I don't know if you could hear it over the audio, but he turned to Jordan when they had that little scene when they were in the huddle. He goes, "If my man comes off, if the double team you, I'll be ready." I love that quote. With excitement, he said, "I'll be ready." And I imagine this little boy, after the game was over, he said to his mom, "Mama, I was ready. And I gave my 5 and my 2, and me and Jesus, we fed 5,000. You see, there's something deeply joyful when we align ourselves with the great one. And let's just be clear, Jesus is the great one. Yeah. Let me ask you this. The answer to the following question is Jesus. Please play along. Who is the great one? Yeah, pretend like you're not a repressed people and say, "Jesus." Who is the great one?
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. He's the great one who's winning the game, but for some reason, every now and then, he likes to dish it off to us so that we can hit the game-winning shot. Amen. Align yourselves with Jesus, ride his coattails, and see what happens, and you will experience joy in serving the King of Kings. You know, this one guy's name is John Piper. He came up with this concept known as Christian hedonism. Hedonism is the concept of living your life just for pleasure. Eat, drink, and be merry. Well, John Piper put the word Christian in front of it. And he says this: when you serve the Lord, you get unbelievable benefits of joy and peace and happiness and purpose. And he would say, pursue serving the kingdom for the sake of it feeling good. This is a beautiful concept. God doesn't say to you, "Hey, I want you to serve me so that you're miserable." He doesn't want you to walk around and say, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." He wants you to say, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." He gives us good feelings on the inside when we actually give of ourselves, like Steve Kerr, and we hit the occasional jump shot for Jesus. Now, I'm telling you, there's a good t-shirt, "Jump Shots for Jesus," right there, right? And so today, it's a day that we've given over to let you know of volunteer opportunities here at the River. We've shortened our worship a bit. We're going to shorten the teaching a little bit. And there's a boatload of things outside for you to look where you can plug in at the River. There's opportunities for you to get involved. But I want to ask a question before we go any further with this service. Is what I'm saying, does it apply to youngsters too?
Amen.
No, okay, so where's the cutoff for what it applies? 12? You're right. It's 13, isn't it? Right? You can't hit a jumper for Jesus unless you're 13. Somebody say amen. That's so untrue. In fact, we want everybody to know, especially the youngsters in the room, that God wants you to hit a jump shot for Jesus so that you can experience the joy of winning the game. That we want to give part of this teaching over just to the youngsters. So if you're like over the age of being young, you know who you are. Your back told you this morning when you got out of bed. I want you to make sure that the youngsters listen to Mallory, our children's pastor, as she comes on up. This is the front.
Good morning. So I'm talking to the kids out there, so just give me a wave so I know I'm not talking to myself. If you're a kid, wave at me, okay? I'm not going to make you come up or stand up or anything like that. But so we didn't have Grow Kids today because what we're talking about here is totally for you too. We want you to know that you are important and you are valued, and what Rob's talking in here today is not just for the adults or the grown-ups in here, it's for you kids too. And the whole River community, our whole church family, values you. We think you kids are important too.
Amen.
And so we want to give you a place that you can serve. So one of the things that I can't stand to hear kids say is, I'm just a kid.
Don't say it.
Mm-mm. I'm just a kid. Don't say it. Yeah, don't say it. I thought you told them to say it.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
So as if being just a kid isn't means that you're not important or you're not valued, right? As much as adults are, okay? Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not true, right?
It's not true.
It's not true. In fact, we think kids are so important that they actually pay me to do awesome things for the kids here.
Right on.
Right?
Yeah.
That's how important you are. So, and I'm here to create a team of people that are going to love kids and support kids and teach kids about God, right? So not only does our church think kids are important a whole bunch, but the Bible actually talks about how important kids are. Did you guys know this?
True.
So in the Bible, it talks about how it is good to be a kid, to have faith like a child, right? And in fact, it sometimes even tells the grown-ups that they need to be more like kids.
Ooh.
Right? They need to be more like kids in the way that they love and believe in Jesus.
Hang on, Mallory. I got it. Kids, did you hear that? The Bible tells us old people that we got to be more like you. Go ahead, Mallory.
So, this isn't just a grown-up thing, right? A grown-up in that story, it wasn't a grown-up that shared his lunch and gave his lunch to Jesus for Jesus to use. Who was it?
A kid,
right? It was a kid, a boy. And so I want you guys to know that you can serve too. You can help and be a part of what we're doing here at the River, right? A grown-up might have been too nervous or think that it was silly to share just what the little bit that they had, but that boy believed that Jesus could do big things with it and believed that he could be used. So maybe you're sitting there thinking, okay, Miss Mallory, I get it. I'm a kid. That's awesome. God cares about me. The River cares about me. But what am I supposed to do, right? Maybe you're asking, what do I have that I can give? Well, I'm going to give you some examples. And I thought since I'm talking to the kids, I'm going to use a language that the kids can understand. Emojis.
Emojis.
Okay, so here is an example. You can show the first one. Do you know how to smile? As a kid, do you know how to smile and do you know how to wave? Can you do those things right now? Can you smile and wave? Right? If you know how to smile and you know how to wave, then you can be a greeter at our church. You can greet people with a smile and you can shake their hand and you can make them feel welcome and loved at our church.
So you're saying that the kids can join me and Barkley out on Sunday mornings?
Absolutely.
Okay, kids, I'll see you out there next Sunday.
Okay, do you have any friends at school that you like to play with or in your neighborhood? Go ahead. If you have friends, does anyone in here have friends? Right? If you have friends, that means you can invite them. That's what this little envelope is. You can invite them to come to church and have fun with you here at church. Okay, so if you have friends, you can do that. That's a way of serving, right?
So kids, hang on. Who's going to invite a friend to church next week? All right, I love it.
Yeah.
I'll see you. Okay.
Okay, next one. How many of you guys have toys or games at your house? Do you have toys or games at your house? I thought you might, right?
Is this gambling?
No.
We're not gambling dice, right?
No, it's like Yahtzee.
Oh, Yahtzee.
Yahtzee.
My bad. Okay. No gambling, kids. Keep going.
If you have toys or games at your house, then you can share, right? God has given you all of these gifts, and you can share them with the people around you, your friends, your neighbors, your siblings, right? All of those things you can share, and that's a way of serving God. Okay, next one. Do you like to help? Have you ever helped make cookies or a cake with your mom or dad or a grown-up in the kitchen? Don't do it by yourself. But If you like to bake cookies or help with those things in the kitchen, what if you made cookies and took them to your neighbor and you shared them with somebody else, right? You can use those gifts and talents to give to other people.
Great idea.
Okay, next one. Is there a certain subject that you're good at in school, like math or science? Or maybe you're really good at a sport like soccer or basketball, something like that. If you are, then maybe you could share those talents and gifts. You could help someone else that maybe is struggling in math or science, or someone who is pretty new at soccer and you could practice a little extra with them. Those are all ways that you can show love and serve other people. Okay, last one. This is for the bigger kids and maybe some students in here. Do you like to help with little kids? Do you like to help with the babies and make them feel loved and take care of them? Then you can help in our nursery. You can help and volunteer your time. We would love to have you help.
Yes, we would.
So God has given each of us, grown-ups and kids alike, talents and gifts. And so we need to choose to use those to serve him. So I don't want to hear anyone say, "Miss Mallory, I'm just a kid. I can't. I don't have anything to give." Because it's not true. God has given you gifts and talents, and he wants you. All you have to do is give them back to him, just like that little boy did in the story.
Awesome. Good. Thank you, Mallory. Way to go. Yeah. Give me some. Good work. So, children, if we hear anybody say, "I'm just a kid," we have squirt guns. We're going to squirt you right in the face, okay? Now, additionally, I've heard adults say, "Well, I can't serve. I can't. I'm just too busy." Squirt gun in your face, right? You have opportunity to serve. And let's just be clear. There are opportunities for you to bring the joy of the Lord, to hit your jumper for Jesus inside the church and outside the church. And so a lot of what Mallory told to the kids was stuff that they can do beyond the walls of this building. Let me give you a couple examples of things you can do if you're not plugged in inside the walls of the church, because the church needs some things to get done in order for ministry to happen. So we actually have 126 volunteers needed just for the kid ministry. There's some of it. If you can work a little computer, you can help kids check in. You can watch little kids. You can read. I mean, let's see the next slide. Here's another one for little kids. There it is. There it is. If you like kids of any kind, if you like computers, if you like telling stories, we need 126 volunteers just in our student or our young kid ministry, and maybe that's the thing for you. Now, there's also another area where there's a need. I think there's another slide for it. We have needs in the greeting and the connections place. So we need 12 people at the Welcome Center, as you can see. These are the smart people, the havers of information, because people at the church want to know what's going on and how to get plugged in. We need 48 greeters in addition to all those kids who are going to join me and Barkley. We need you. Some of you need to be a greeter in the parking lot because it's going to get crowded out there. Not everybody's going to park as far away as some of us. And we need people in the parking lot to tell them where to go. We need people in the sanctuary whose job is to make sure everybody has a place, make sure everyone's comfortable. These are some very clear and obvious in-house needs where you can plug in. And right back here to my right, y'all's left, there's a station where Mallory will be with some of her team where you can get information and how you can get plugged in. Right over here is the hospitality booth where Janann is, and you can find information over there on how to get plugged in as a greeter or somebody at the Welcome Center. There's places for you to serve. Now, as you came in, you saw some booths out there. That's additional information of stuff that's going on at the river. Maybe as you walk by that booth that said Guatemala and Uganda, something stirred in you and you said, I got to go. All right, we got a trip coming up to Uganda. Today's kind of the public launch of that. Maybe you need to go to Uganda. Maybe you need to talk to the Guatemala people and say, I think I need to get plugged in with that ministry. Maybe you saw the overflow booth. That's the booth where we have lunch every Sunday after church for our friends who are homeless. Maybe you need to get plugged in there as a server. Many of you brought chips and water today because of a Facebook post. Thank you for that. Maybe you saw that women's ministry booth and you said, maybe I should get plugged in there. Maybe you saw the men's ministry booth. I should get plugged in there. There's a whole boatload of options for you to go and check out. That's why we're ending service a little bit early so that you can find your place. Here's the deal. There's a jump shot that the world needs that only you can hit. Will you be ready when Jesus kicks it to you? ride the coattails of the great one and just see how your joy increases. Now, here's the deal. Why are we pushing volunteer stuff today? Here's why. You might not know this about me, but I've had 6 knee surgeries. Each time I had a knee surgery, I had to do something before I got back to normal activity. What was it? Physical therapy. What physical therapy did is it did some very painful things to me that might or might not have made me swear so that I could get back to normal living and be more fruitful than I was before. The river has been in kind of a physical therapy state for about 2 years. A couple months ago, a month and a half, Fraser got up, our executive pastor, and shared some family business. If you didn't hear that, go back to the podcast and listen to what all he shared. But God was kind of doing some work in this church, getting us ready to a place where we can get back to activity that was even better than before, some physical therapy. I think the Lord has made it clear that we're done with therapy and he's ready to release us to do greater things than we've ever done as a church. And in order for those greater things than ever to be done, we're going to need people like you to step to the plate. If you've been a bit dusty in your faith, it's time to shake it off a little bit. And the more that we give glory to the King, the more that he will exalt this place. And I believe strongly that God's about ready to unleash something through us in this place like we have never seen and Kalamazoo has never seen. Anybody excited about that word? Okay. So in a minute, I'm going to ask Brian Fraser, who is our executive pastor, to come up on stage. But before I do that, I want to tell you that because we're preparing for a bigger move of the Lord, because we're out of therapy, in January, what month?
January.
We're going to go back to 2 services. Here's the deal. We went to 1 service about a year and a half ago because things were a bit rough here at the river, as we shared with you. We needed the physical therapy to get back in order. Now, some of you wish we could stay at 1 service forever because you like seeing everybody at the same time, don't you? Well, unfortunately, God wants healthy things to grow. Unfortunately? It's only unfortunate because we'll have to go to 2 services to make room for all the people God's going to bring in here that you're going to bring in here, and we need more seats for them. So in January, we're going to go to 2 services, right? And so here's a poll. If you have your app on your phone or your device, pull out the River app right now. And if you haven't downloaded it, well, you can participate later as you download the River KZoo app. And there's going to be a poll coming up on your phone right now. And the poll is basically this. If, somebody say if. We are going to 2 services, that's not the if. If we decide to have 1 of those 2 services in an evening, would you prefer Saturday evening, Sunday evening, or there's no way in Hades you would ever go to an evening service? Okay, tell your phone, don't yell at me. Right? So that's going to help us gather information as we prepare for January, whether or not we have 2 Sunday morning services, Sunday evening, Sunday morning, Saturday evening. Check it out. Here's the deal. God wants healthy things to grow. And this thing is about ready to grow in ways that we haven't seen for a while. Okay? So you can clap for that. Brian Fraser, your executive pastor.
Hey, y'all. I'm enthralled by what... Do you guys, when you vote on that poll, do you watch your phone? Because it's like, it just keeps changing. It's amazing. We're going to use this for a lot of nonsense over the years, I imagine. A lot of good things, too, I'm sure. But I'll tell you what the poll says. I'll update you with the live poll results here when we're done. So Rob was referencing the meeting we had back in July. We kind of filled you in on what was going on. It is available online. You can go listen. If you weren't here that day and haven't listened, I do. And this is your home or you're interested, I encourage you to go do that because there was a lot that was said. 2 of the things that we focused on were sort of owning up to and acknowledging to all of you and with all of you mistakes that we have made unintentionally over the years, specifically in the area of our volunteer culture, our broken volunteer culture here, and in the area of the river not always being an easy place for new people to come and get connected and feel a sense of belonging. Those are things that we have, despite all of our best efforts over the years, we've never really been able to find our traction with those things. The volunteer culture thing we talked about, often we have not done a good enough job with the systems ahead of time so that when we get volunteers, because we've done volunteer pushes like this before, right? Many of you have been a part of this where we recruit and we recruit and then we plug you in, and a month or so down the road, we haven't done a good enough job getting systems in place, and so you are kind of spinning your wheels and you're not sure what the purpose is and whether you're making a difference, and it becomes frustrating, and then people kind of fade, and then a year later we have to do another volunteer push because we lost all the people that we got the first year because we weren't ready for them. And in a, sort of along with that, we've not always done a great job of valuing and appreciating our volunteers and helping them understand the importance that the important role that they play and how crucial they are to the mission of the river. And so because of those two things, we've had a general lack of volunteer investment in positions that we need to fill here at the river in order to fulfill our purpose. And the river not being an easy place to connect with. You know, I was reading a book, I don't know, a month or two ago now, and there was a line in the book that I loved, and it said, "Culture eats strategy for breakfast." That is, you can have the best plan laid out, and if your culture isn't right, none of the strategy, none of the plans are going to make any difference, because eventually culture is always going to win out. And I think we have, we haven't even had great strategy, but beyond that, we haven't had, we've never put the time in to make our culture such that we are just grabbing people when they walk in, and that this is that this becomes their home and their community right away. Many people come here and they already have a group of friends, or they have family here, or they have a tight community, and for those people it's great, but there's a lot of people that come into this place for the first time and they are not they're not adopted by any of these groups, and we haven't done a good job sort of letting them experience that feel of family and community that many of you have. And so all of our plans to do that we've never gone all the way back to the culture piece, and so that's what we're trying to do. And so I share all of this as a recap of what we talked about in July to let you know we are working on a culture shift here, and while this is another ministry fair push where we're recruiting people, I want to let you know that what has been going on behind the scenes leading up to this day and leading up to what we're doing here has been very, very different than anything we've ever done before. There's been a lot of time and attention put into specifically making sure that we have a plan in place, and that the background work has been done and the structures are there so that when we get people, we know exactly where we're plugging them in and why and how, so that we don't have the spinning of the wheels and the purposelessness, or at least not understanding the purpose that we've had before. There's a very specific plan in place, and as Rob indicated, a lot of it hinges on much of the work that we have to do in this season right now is hospitality and kids ministry. And so there's millions of, well, that's an exaggeration, there's not millions. There's a lot of different areas within those two umbrellas to serve. And so we can accommodate and need to accommodate a lot of different giftings under those umbrellas, but those are the two biggest areas of work here in the church that needs to be done. And so as you're going to sign up today, I am again, we talked about this in July, and even if you remember in July, I said, we're going to be talking more about this, more information is coming, just hold on. So even back then, even as far back as March and April, we as a staff have been working hard behind the scenes to get ready for this day, knowing that this day was coming, but not wanting to do it too soon because we wanted to make sure that we were ready. And so we've been tinkering and tweaking and trying things to make sure that the systems that we have in place are going to sustain this culture shift, because this is hard work, right? This is hard. We've been around for 14 years, which in the world of churches isn't really that long, but it's long enough to establish a culture. And then when you try to change that, it's slow going. And so we need you to jump in. We need you to go and talk to these people and see if there's a place for you to fit in, for us to become what God has called us to be. And it's never been about empire building. We're not worried about all of these programs so that the river can get huge and just be huge unto itself. We want the river to have as much impact in the community and bring the kingdom to Kalamazoo in as big a way and as many ways as possible. And some of that requires us to continue to build our infrastructure here. We need you to do that. There's no way around the fact that service is sacrificial sometimes. And so as I'm telling you how intentional we've been about making sure that there is purpose and value in all of these things and how intentional we are going to be about making sure that we are uplifting and holding that purpose and value in front of you so that you understand the difference that you're making, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes service is inconvenient. Sometimes you would rather do something different. I understand all of that. And I'm asking you to do it anyway, because I believe in addition to the sacrifice of service, there's also great joy that comes when we together begin to see the fruits of this. And so particularly for those of you who have been here for a long time, you've ridden out some very difficult weather here at the river. And as Rob said, we really believe that page has been turned and we are moving into something different. And the last couple of years have been necessary to build that foundation. We need you to engage in that sacrifice of service, again, for us to become all that we were intended to be and all that God has called us to be. So go back and visit the River Kids table on this side, the hospitality table on this side. They can fill you in more on the specific jobs that they are recruiting for. Talk with them, consider it, jump in. We need it. That's like 200 different volunteer positions we need to stabilize what we're doing here at the river and begin to fix this culture and start the shift. So go talk to those people, go visit the tables out in the lobby, get plugged in with ministries. If you will find something that appeals to you, I promise. There's, I think, 10 or 12 different ministries out there represented today.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.